You're listening to Pastor Stephen G. Lightfoot's podcast, Sermons and Homilies by the Reverend Stephen G. Lightfoot. Pastor Stephen is an ordained elder in the Global Methodist Church and serves as senior pastor to First Methodist Church Splendora and Shepherd Methodist Church in Southeast Texas. Here is today's episode. Please be seated. So I want to continue this week our discussion on faith. Our epistle is from 2 Corinthians 5, beginning at verse 6. I want to take this a few verses at a time. Paul is discussing with us how faith in Jesus Christ works for us as the church as we move about the world doing the work of the church, coming alongside with what God is already doing in the world, not inventing our own programs, not coming up with our own agenda, but joining in with what God the Father has purposed us to do as the church. Our faith is cemented in a firm foundation that begins with the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The resurrection is important. Without it, there's nothing to hope for. And so Paul is focusing in this epistle on the faith of the people of God in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Listen to what he says, beginning at verse 6, going through verse 10. Therefore, being always of good courage, and knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. But we are of good courage and prefer rather to be absent from the body and to be at home with the Lord. Therefore, we also have as our ambition, whether at home in the body or absent, to be pleasing to Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive compensation for his deeds done through the body in accordance with what he has done, whether good or bad. So what's Paul trying to get across to us this morning? Paul's life was entirely awash in confidence. He was steeped in confidence. Didn't come by it easily, if you recall Paul's story, but he was steeped in confidence because of the hope that he had in Christ, specifically the hope that he had in the resurrection of Christ, in which he knew, as a believer in Jesus Christ, he had a share, as we all do. Indeed, all of us who believe in Jesus Christ as Lord have a share in the resurrection. We use that phrase a lot. I want to make sure we understand what it means. Because we know that the work Jesus did on the cross, the work he did in the grave, rising from the dead, conquering death, conquering sin, that work paid our debt, yours and mine, and gave us this free gift of grace, a free gift of redemption that guaranteed for each of us that are believers that we will have our own resurrection from death into eternal life with Christ. See, the resurrection of Jesus is important because his resurrection is your resurrection. See, Paul knows that what we should all know as Christians, that while we're here in this material body, we're not fully present with God. Don't misunderstand me now. But we know that when we're here in this body, we see through the glass dimly. I have to be careful that we don't misunderstand what Paul's saying to us. When Paul says that we're away from God, away from the Lord, it doesn't mean that Christ has abandoned us because we are in our humanness. It simply means that while we're here living out our faith and our lives on this earth, we're not able to be fully with Christ, fully with God, as are the angels and the saints that have gone before us. Because we see through this glass dimly, we cannot see Him, Jesus, as He really is in all His glory and all His majesty. We worship a God we cannot see. So we worship Him in faith. We walk in faith. We walk out our lives in this human form, in this human condition, by faith, not by sight. And that is a remarkable thing. Don't underestimate the value that God has purposed us with to worship Him in spirit and in truth by faith, never having actually set our eyes on God. That's amazing. That sets us apart even from the angels who worship Him because they see Him daily. And we worship a God that we cannot see out of faith. Faith is a powerful thing. Paul tells us here that it is our hope as Christ followers to be with Christ. In fact, he says we'd rather be away from the body and be with Him right now if that were possible. But then Paul reminds us that whether we are in the body or with Christ, our goal, our life's work, our deepest desire should be to please Him. Why? Well, because Paul says one day we will all be away from the body and standing in front of Jesus. And He will judge. He is the only one appointed to judge. He will judge each of us for what we did and what we failed to do while we were on earth. Now, while what we do well doesn't gain us saving grace, let's be clear. And while what we fail to do doesn't necessarily damn us to eternal separation from God that we call hell, reason being, we have Christ as our intercessor. While that's true, thanks be to God, we should take note that what we do well will be rewarded in some way, and what we fail to do well will be judged in some way. Now, this is just my personal opinion, and I can't support it with Scripture. But I think that there will be some uncomfortable conversations with our Lord Jesus on that day that we stand in front of Him. And I think that the promise of no more tears in heaven begins the day after Judgment Day. Why? Because when we recount with Christ, when we recount all the things that we have done or failed to do, as He judges us, there's going to be happy tears and there's going to be tears of sadness. But if you hear nothing else, hear this. Your relationship with Christ has paid your debt. And so whether you're mourning because you had some times in this life on this earth that you wish you could take back and do over again, all of that means nothing if you have the blood of Jesus covering you. And if you've done exceptionally well, it wasn't you anyway, it was Jesus working through you. And so you can't boast, and you also need not fear that judgment day if you are in Christ. We tend to gloss over, I think, as Christians, because we know we are secure in Christ, we tend to gloss over Judgment Day. What have I got to worry about? And in the long run, that's absolutely true. And yet, standing in front of Jesus and having to recount with him all the things that transpired in this life, I got news for you. I don't want to have that conversation. Even if I know the outcome is me being welcomed into heaven because of my relationship with Jesus, I still don't want to have that conversation about my past life with Jesus Christ. And yet, that day is coming for all of us. Paul's reminding us of that. And he's saying, you know, no matter what your past is, and believe me, Paul had a past. No matter what your past is, it's not too late to change course and set your eyes on Jesus. Everything I don't have to be ashamed of standing in front of Jesus, that's good. Because trust me, there's plenty in my past that I don't want to talk to him about. I'm not about trying to come up with more material for my meeting Judgment Day with Jesus. I hope you understand what I'm saying. Yes, it's been bought and paid for. Yes, you have nothing to fear. And yet it's never too late to get your act together for Christ. One day we'll all be away from the body and standing in front of Jesus, and he will judge each of us for what we did and failed to do while we were on the earth. Now, while that doesn't gain us saving grace, while what we fail to do doesn't damn us to hell because we have Christ as our intercessor, while all of that is true, thanks be to God, we should take note that what we do well will be rewarded in some way, and what we fail to do well will be judged in some way. That's just the truth. So then Paul goes into a discussion about, because what we know is coming, this day of judgment is coming, because we know that there are consequences for those things that we fail to do well, and especially because we know that failing to believe in our hearts and confess with our mouths that Jesus Christ is Lord leads to some incredibly harsh and eternal consequences, because we know all of this is coming, we need to be engaged as the church in what Paul calls a ministry of reconciliation. Actively, as the church, being out there in the world persuading people to come to know Christ. Because our job as the church is both to know Christ and to make Christ known. So Paul continues in verse 11. He says, therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade people, but we are well known to God, and I hope that we are also well known in the consciences of the people. We're not commending ourselves to you again, Paul says, but are giving you an opportunity to be proud of us so that you will have an answer for those who take pride in appearance and not in heart. For if we have lost our minds, it is for God. If we are of sound mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ controls us, having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died. And he died for all, so that those who live would no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose on their behalf. See, Paul reminds us here that everything that we do should be for the honor and glory of God and for the benefit of other people. Nothing we do should ever be for our own glory. Paul says, if you're going to be out of your mind crazy for anything, be crazy for God. Anybody here crazy for God? You know, back in the day, they used to call Jesus followers Jesus freaks. Right? Travel around in a chartreuse minivan, VW, flowers on the side, preaching Jesus.
You're dating yourself.
What can I say? Jesus freaks. People crazy, sold out for Jesus. Be sold out for Christ, because when we're sold out for Christ, when we lose it for Jesus, Paul says that's when you're in your right mind. Nothing like being able to be crazy and considered in your right mind. That's kind of an awesome thing. Everybody turn to your neighbor and say, I'm crazy for Jesus. Crazy for Jesus. When we are crazy for Jesus, Paul says that's when we're in our right minds, because our zeal for God benefits other people by getting them excited about God also. Being crazy for Jesus is contagious. We've all seen that all it takes is a little Jesus to get people excited. Just a little Jesus gets people excited. Paul reminds us that this faith that we have is really not about us at all. It's all about Him. We are compelled to carry out this ministry of reconciliation to the world around us because the love of Christ in us urges us onward toward that purpose. The love of Christ propels us forward into the community that we serve to bring the message of mercy and grace and redemption to the people so that they can proclaim Jesus Lord of their lives as well. And sometimes all it takes is a certificate for $25 to Archie's grocery store to make people realize that this is God's love being manifest in a simple coupon for bread, milk, and whatever. We underestimate the value of that coupon, I believe. It says $25, redeemable at Archie's. What it should say is the love of Christ is looking out for you. It may not buy a whole lot of milk and bread and whatnot, but isn't it wonderful that somebody cares that you have the milk and the bread? The love of Christ propels us forward into the community we serve, bringing the message of mercy, grace, and redemption to the people so that they can give God honor and glory also. When we do that, this purpose that God has for us as the church, when we carry it out, something amazing happens. The kingdom of God appears on earth. Think about that. The kingdom of God appears on earth just as it is in heaven whenever we carry out God's mission in our community. We start to think about our fellow human beings a little differently when we're carrying out the mission of the church in the world. We stop seeing people as failures, and we start to see people as possibilities. the last time you looked at somebody and said, man, I don't understand them. They don't have their act together. I'm not speaking out of school here. I admit it. I think sometimes, wow, that guy doesn't have it going on at all. And then something happens, and I look in the mirror and I say, that guy doesn't have it going on at all. It doesn't take much to bring us right back down and say, there by the grace of God go I. We stop seeing people as failures and we start seeing people as possibilities. I have to tell you, if God never looked at me as a possibility and continued to look at me as a failure the way I saw myself in my pre-Christ past, where would I be now? If God truly gave us what we deserve, where would we be now? And yet instead, he sent Jesus to take all of that upon himself and gave us grace instead, gave us mercy instead. So in the last two verses of this epistle, Paul says, therefore, from now on, we recognize no one by the flesh. Even though we've known Christ by the flesh, yet now we know him in this way no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, this person is a new creation. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. And so what happens if we as the church begin to see the Christ in people out there beyond those doors instead of seeing people with their hand out for a food certificate as if that's a reason to be ashamed? And God forbid any one of us, as we're handing them a certificate, look down our noses and say, here, I'm giving you this because you're less than. That's not the church. We don't give it out because we feel like we're better than those who need it. I don't know, if we ever start to do that, we need to just stop. We give it because the love of Christ propels us forward. God forbid we should ever see ourselves in a position of the haves and see all those in need as the have-nots. That's not who God intends us to be. That's not his purpose for the church. His purpose for the church is to be the love of Christ extended to those who need him. And if that looks like a gift certificate for Archie, so be it. But that's just the icing on the mercy and grace cake that we are called to serve from this place we call church. If anyone is in Christ, this person is a new creation. Doesn't matter what went before, those things have passed away. Behold, because of what Christ has done, because of the faith we have in his resurrection, new things have come. That's what Paul's trying to tell us. I do a whole sermon called I'm Not the Man I Was Before. I'm not going to do it now, but trust me when I say that the old things indeed do pass away when you die to self and you accept Christ. And then Christ starts to work through you, and the mission and purposes of God are moved into the community and people stand up and take notice, hey, this church is doing something different. It's not just a club where they meet on Sundays, sing some nice songs, have some potluck and go home. No, this church is moving in the community, doing God's work. That's the church that you are. Forty-eight families may seem like a drop in the bucket when you consider there are 60,000 people living in relative poverty just down the road from us. But that's 48 families that'll have some food on the table. We can only do as much ministry as we have resources to do. But as long as we continue to do it faithfully, that love of Christ will spread. Because that's what the mustard seed philosophy is all about. A little faith, a little Jesus produces big results. That's kind of why we do what we do. Gene, I think I've said all I'm going to say today. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you for listening to today's podcast. Come back again next week for a new message. And until then, may God bless you and keep you.